You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai. Get a $50 reward card. Terms apply. Time now for our weekly visit with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. He is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, more than 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What does it mean that the Bears have converted $7 million of Charles Leno's contract into signing bonus money, which means all of a sudden they've got, what, $5.5 million in cap space? Are they doing this to set something else up?
Well, I mean, usually when something like this happens, that is the suspicion, because it does create cap space in the short term. It kicks cap charges into future years. Now that cap space can be spent now, it can be carried over, but it creates some flexibility. So they may be thinking about something, whether it's extending the contract of somebody that they currently have on the roster, or whether it's spending that money on someone else. Rarely do these things happen inadvertently or accidentally. But also, if you're going to do it at all at any point during the season, I think you probably need to do it before the season starts. I'm not 100% sure on that. It's a very simple process, though. You take a bulk of the player's salary, you convert it to a signing bonus, and you can push a lot of that cap dollar into future years.
Yeah, a lot of people have been thinking Cody Whitehair needs an extension sometime soon. Wonder if that's not the odds-on favorite. Still, though, the big news around the Bears is the piece in Sports Illustrated that's out about the kicking competition slash clown college slash carousel that the Bears ran to start the preseason. I don't know how much of it you've worked through, but the sense the piece gives everyone is that a lot of people around the NFL were really kind of looking askance at how the Bears were trying to find a kicker. Anything new out of this? Anything big that changes your mind about how they went around finding somebody to kick field goals?
Well, the whole thing is so odd because there are more good kickers than there are jobs for kickers in the National Football League. And the idea that a team would just be careening around seemingly aimlessly without a clear plan, it's just bizarre and it's unusual. And maybe they've got a play that they're going to make later, you know, in the preseason as we get closer to week one. And we've talked about that before. The rosters get cut down on August 31. There may be some trade opportunities as teams declare winners to kicking competitions. There may be guys who get cut. But there's always guys out there. And the idea that it's just felt so discombobulated, it's I can't remember a time this has happened with another team. And maybe they think they've got the luxury of doing that because there always is a fallback. There always is an emergency option. There always is somebody they can sign. But whoever that kicker is in 15 days, when we're at Soldier Field for the first game of the season, it's time to go out and kick a field goal. And, of course, you know, the way the stars are going to line up, it's going to be a potential game-winning field goal. And if you miss it, you lose kind of a situation. And that's going to be a weight-of-the-world type pressure on whoever that kicker is. And they need to be sure that whoever the kicker is can deal with it. So it's been entertaining. It's amazing to see a team this good at every other position have that weakness. And we'll see if they can get it properly addressed before the season starts.
Now, Mike, I've been deep in the wilderness for the last 6 days or so, but upon emerging, I look at one of the airport monitors, and I look up and I see the Broncos defense, and it was just a classic Vic Fangio, you know, little four-man shell on a 3rd-and-8. And I look up, like, it's the middle of the second quarter, and Von Miller is out on the field. And guys who matter, Bradley Chubb, are out there on the field. And when we're in Chicago now, looking at the idea of the preseason is completely vestigial. The idea of that third game, that's the dress rehearsal. No. There's just no. Vic Fangio doesn't seem to care. Is everything cool with his usage?
Well, I don't hear anyone from within the Broncos organization complaining. The moment somebody tears an ACL, though, it's going to be the biggest controversy the team has seen in recent years. And one of the reasons why we see fewer of the star players in the preseason games is because of these joint practices. And the Broncos had 2 days of practices with the 49ers before they played in that game. So it is surprising to see that. But Vic Fangio, old school guy. He's going to do it his way. He's waited a long time for this opportunity, and he's trying to instill something in that team that they've been lacking for multiple years. So this is part of it. We're going to go out. We're going to work. We're going to get ready for the season. And in his mind, the only way to get ready for the games that count is to go out there and play in the games that don't count.
So, Mike, Jerry Jones made a comment about Ezekiel Elliott, basically saying Zeke, like you couldn't remember who he was for anybody who's been living under a rock the last 48 hours and missed it. Jerry Jones then says he's earned the right to joke about this contract situation. Do you think he's earned the right to joke? And even if he has, should he have exercised it?
The way that Jerry Jones delivered that line, and he said it twice, my take is that it's a reminder to Ezekiel Elliott all the times that Jerry Jones has gone to bat for this guy, from the six-game suspension 2 years ago, which resulted in Jerry Jones taking on the commissioner, getting Papa John involved. Of course, eventually lost his job over the effort to get rid of the commissioner as retaliation for what happened to Ezekiel Elliott. I think other things that we heard about, things we maybe don't know about, and I just got the impression that Jerry Jones' message to Rocky Arsenault, the agent for Ezekiel Elliott, is do not go there because I have gone to bat for your guy over and over and over again. If I want to make a joke, I'm going to make a joke, and you should not perceive that as any type of disrespect. I've shown this guy nothing but respect his 3 years in the NFL. That's how I interpreted it, and it almost felt like a warning shot. And this one's fascinating because Jones is determined to not blink, and Elliott is dug in, and something's got to give at some point.
I just am surprised that the Le'Veon Bell, James Conner experience hasn't been more informative for star running backs, because the value over replacement player for these guys just may not be what they think it is, and we've learned that over the years. Running backs can be found, running backs can be plugged in, and they can run through holes. Ezekiel Elliott must have already done the valuation that he and his agent believe that he is a special player with that much value over a replacement.
Well, and here's the problem. He has shown that he's a special player. He was the fourth overall pick in the draft, and he's trying to get his reward while he still has a significant degree of value to the team. That's the problem, because a year from now, he may not have that same value. Look at Todd Gurley, the contract the Rams gave him last year. They wouldn't give it to him now. He lost that value in his fourth NFL season with the chronic knee problems. And also, they're breaking in the new offense. Amari Cooper told me back in June he aspires to have 2,000 receiving yards this year, something no one has ever done in the history of the league. But maybe that offense is going to become more of a passing offense, not a running offense. So, you know, all the elements are lining up here where Elliott believes he's got maximum value to the team. The team wanted to wait one more year. And, here's the thing. Tony Pollard, if he's the starting running back, and he'll gain 5 yards on a given play, the question becomes, how many more yards would Ezekiel Elliott have gained? How much more does that help your offense? How much more does that help your team? And I think Elliott's people believed that the Cowboys would blink because of this notion that we're going all in. This is the year we're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. They haven't been in the NFC Championship game since 1995, for crying out loud. So, that, you know, and they, I think they thought there was going to be a greater degree of panic on the part of the Cowboys, and to their credit, they've held firm. Now, it only takes one day for Jerry Jones to roll out of bed and say, what the hell am I doing? And I think Elliott and his agent are counting on that, but hasn't happened yet. And, the closer we get to the season, the chances of it happening increase. But for now, he's dug in.
So Dolphins head coach Brian Flores works his entire Jay-Z playlist in a practice just the other day. That after Kenny Stills has kind of taken exception to the fact that Jay-Z and the NFL have a new partnership together. Much Ado, like is that just Spotify being Spotify or however they're running their music? That just all kind of coming up on random? Or is this a shot at a guy who's pretty well respected in the league in Kenny Stills?
I think this is another example of a former Belichick assistant playing the what would Bill do card when faced with a situation that Belichick would never have to deal with, because Kenny Stills never would have stood at his locker in Foxborough and criticized anyone, because those guys are handpicked because they wouldn't do it, or they are told in no uncertain terms not to do it, or they see the example that is made of the guy who accidentally crosses that line. Porkchop Knight, remember him? He finished his career with a cup of coffee in New England, and he told me one time that he was asked by a reporter about another defensive tackle and how that guy was doing in camp, and Knighton just praised him. This guy's great. This guy's awesome. Belichick ripped him in front of the whole team. It's not your job to comment on another player. I don't care whether it's good. I don't care whether it's bad. So, you know, that whole very top-down, rigid framework, Brian Flores is trying to instill that, I think, in Miami in his way of dealing with a guy that he didn't pick to be there who's not playing ball the way that a guy in New England would do it. I think this is what Flores thinks Belichick would do, just to send the message. And, you know, they can deny it all they want, but it's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. And I don't think there's some benevolent purpose here, like, hey, we want to get him ready for all the abuse he's going to take in opposing stadiums this year. I think Flores is sending a message to Stills to shut his damn mouth. Look, I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I just think that's what's going on.
I had a revelatory moment last night in the middle of watching Hard Knocks about two-thirds of the way through. I looked at my son and I said, does this season suck? And he said, Dad, this season sucks. And I said, why? He said, nothing is happening. And it just is the most static, attenuated, forced, way too self-aware, uncomfortable, weird, I don't like it. I'm going to keep giving it a shot because I'm an idiot and a masochist, and I've always liked the show and I like the brand, but nothing's happening.
Now, and I think to get the Raiders to agree to do it this year, the NFL and NFL Films, which is the NFL, had to give the Raiders ultra-final say, and there better be nothing in here that makes anyone look bad. We're going to scour over every scene. I mean, the Antonio Brown story is the prime example. There's been nothing that makes him in any way look like he's being unreasonable by not being at practice, by having frostbitten feet. It's not his fault. They never say how it happened. He didn't have the proper footwear on. How's it not his fault? The helmet thing, they tiptoe around that. And the one little piece of truth that popped through the screen last night was when Antonio Brown had that new helmet on before the preseason game last week, and he said to a teammate, this thing is ugly as bleep. You know, it's a vanity play. And it may be a vanity play for Tom Brady, who wore his unapproved helmet as long as he possibly could. These guys want to look good. They think they're going to play good if they look good. And Antonio Brown thinks he does not look good in these newfangled helmets. He wants to wear the Shut Air Advantage because it looks good, not because it's safer, not because it's got better sight lines. He wants it because he likes how he looks in it. And, again, I'm not saying that's an unreasonable position, but I'm surprised that made its way in, because it kind of gave us an unintended look at what's really going on here and why Brown is fighting this so aggressively.
Mike, appreciate it. As always, look forward to talking next week.
All right, see ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.